Praise the Lord. And that is true. Those angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord for that. I want you to be praying about, you probably noticed in the paper, First Baptist Church of Adrian is closing their doors. And I want you to pray for the folks there. If you know anybody from that church, invite them. Tell them, come on over. And I was amazed. The newspaper article said that the congregation there, the people, there were only six people out of 40 that were under 70 years old. And so there's some folks that they remember the old time religion, and I think they'd like it here. I really do. If you know anybody, seriously, contact them. Let them know that Berean Baptist is old fashioned religion. Amen. And we're just like they might remember from the old days, a Baptist church where the preaching's hard and the altar call's given and people are getting saved and baptized, and amen. So let them know, and that'll be good. And pray about that if you would. Well, I'll tell you, God spoke to my heart about our students being home for spring break, and this morning I thought, you know, we need to hear from Brother Kendall Engel. And Brother Kendall, of course, is a graduate of our Christian school and went off to Bible college to be a preacher. And I asked him after the service this morning, did he have a message? And he was telling me about, preaching to the bus kids and everything. And I said, I'd like you to preach tonight. And he just gave me that look. That's why I guess I know what you'll be doing this afternoon. And Bible says instant in season, out of season. Amen. So, but Brother Kendall's a good guy, and he's doing a good job in school, and, he's a preacher, so he'll preach, and you listen, and let it be a blessing to you. Brother Kendall, you come.
All right, thank you. So, if you're wondering what I'm doing here, I'm also wondering the same exact thing, so I got the answer. I have no idea, but I got a message God laid upon my heart, and when Pastor asked me earlier today, I was obviously had to have the whole cocky, like, Bible college student, I'm a preacher, and he asked, do you have a message, just like he was saying, and of course, like, I can't tell him I don't have a message. I mean, obviously, he just quoted the verse, so I had to tell him I had a message, and I had one, just I wasn't planning on preaching it here tonight, so, but I thank God for the opportunity, and I'll have a word of prayer real quick, and then I'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you so much for how awesome you are, and how great you are, and just help this evening and help me to say what you want me to say and just help me to be a blessing tonight and just speak to someone tonight and use this in however you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see if I can, how's this on? Okay. I guess you can hear me. All right. I'm going to start out a little different, and you may be a little confused at first. I'm going to tell a couple different stories at the beginning, and you might have not realized how they have anything to do with each other. If you turn your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm going to tell a story, then go back to it. And like I said, you'll be a little confused at first, but hopefully you'll be able to see how it all comes together. Jonah chapter 1, we'll read a few verses. You're there. All right, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And then I'll skip down to verse 15. We'll read a few right there. It says, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now, just leave that right there for now, and I'm going to come back to it. Like I said, I'm going to tell a story, and at first it's not going to sound like it has anything to do with it. Well, like anybody, I was a kid one time, and when I was 9 years old, I remember as growing up, when I was first born, I was born a couple months early, so I was premature, so I was a preemie, and everyone still makes fun of me for it. But I remember being born a couple months early. I was supposed to be, I'm not sure the exact date they had, it was sometime in October, and I was born August 5th, so everyone can write that down and make sure they remember my birthday. But I was born August 5th, so obviously that's, a little odd and a little different, and I wasn't supposed to come that early.
And because of that, the doctor said, at first I had to stay in the hospital for over a month. At least that's what my parents told me. And I'm still not actually sure. I haven't seen pictures of this. I haven't actually seen doctor's reports of this. So I'm not sure. I don't know if it's just something my parents just always told me growing up, so they always just could get more out of me. Like, you know, why do I got to do this? Remember, we were there for you. And we paid all that money for it, and we stayed for a month in the hospital. So I don't know if they just use it against me or not. But they told me about it anyhow. And the doctors at that time had said that growing up I might have some complications and some problems and I might have some little difficulties just because of that, and it's not something that's a good thing. And so they told me, you know, every year I'd have to go get my eyes checked and my ears checked, and they told me I might have to have glasses, and if you can't see, I had to have glasses. So they told me to keep an eye on some things. And they have normal checkups and just make sure everything's okay. And I remember, though, growing up from as far back as I can remember, every day I remember having stomach problems, and every day I was in pain. And I remember when I was 4 or 5, 6, 7 years old, it was always in so much pain. And I remember 2 or 3 times a day I always go into my room and I get on my bed, and believe it or not, I'd cry. And I was always in a lot of pain. And it happened 2 or 3 times a day, and it would just hit me all of a sudden, and I had no idea what was going on. And so we would go to my parents would take me to the doctor's office, and the doctors would tell me, my parents, it was no big deal. It was just nerves. I was just a nervous child. And believe me, if you saw me this afternoon after Pastor told me, you believe that. So I was a nervous child. And so we just kind of passed it off and said I was just a nervous little kid and I was shy. So I think I passed that almost. But so they told me, you know, it wasn't any big deal. And that went on. And I remember dealing with that every single day. And my parents didn't know what was the matter with it. They were just, I was just an unusual child. It wasn't normal. So I had those pains. And I remember the one night, I can't remember the exact date of it. I think I was 9 years old. And I remember the next day we were getting, we were all hanging out in our family room. And I remember the next day we were going to the Greenfield Village. I don't know how many of you have ever been there before. But as a kid, I really liked going there. At that point, I'd only been there a couple times, and I really enjoyed it. And I was looking forward to going. And we had this whole day planned, so my parents had wanted us to go to bed and get a good night's rest, because I mean, if you've ever been there before, it's all day long, and you're walking out in the sun, and you get pretty tired. And so my parents told me to go to bed, and we went to bed, and it was just like any other night. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night, and honestly, I don't know all the doctor's terms and all the stuff about it. I guess I could have looked it up, but it took more time. But I remember, I don't even know all the terms about it, but somewhere in the middle of the night, internally, I started bleeding. And I don't know how it happened, but something did. So internally, I started bleeding. And I remember I got up and I passed out on the ground. I wasn't feeling pain. Obviously, I was passed out. But my sister had found me. And she got up in the middle of the night for some reason. And she found me and she went and told my parents. My parents came in. And I remember them looking worried and them being really concerned. And I didn't really have any pain. I didn't really know what was going on. But my dad picked me up and put me in his truck, and we rushed to the hospital. And we went into the hospital, and, you know, now I'm getting kind of nervous. Like, why are we going to the hospital? At first, it was like, I get to hang out with my dad in the middle of the night. This is cool. But now after that, though, I'm at the hospital. Like, I don't think I'd ever been to the hospital my whole life, or someone else as a kid, but I don't remember that. And I still think it was my parents' story. So I went to the hospital, and they started doing some tests and some x-rays, and immediately they put me into the emergency room, and they said they were going to have emergency surgery. Man, I still had no idea what was going on. I remember, I think it was a Wednesday, or it was a Wednesday because we were having a master's club that night. And I don't know if my dad remembers this or not, but we brought my little Bible and a master's club book, and we were studying it. And we were going over it, and I was trying to memorize those verses, because, I mean, I had no idea what was going on. And I was going to be home by that day, or later on that day, and I was going to go to church, and I was going to get my verses, and I was going to earn my badges, and I was going to have them more than anybody else. So I was studying hard, But obviously plans changed a little bit, and they came and they said that I needed to have emergency surgery. I don't know all that they did. I remember that it wasn't fun. And I remember waking up from it, and I felt like I just fell asleep, and I woke up. They put me under for a while. I'm not even sure how long the surgery was. But this one I remember, so I can't blame this one on my parents. Like, just some sad story they made up. But I remember being in this and how horrible it was, and that it was no fun at all. I started thinking back later, not too long ago, about this. And, you know, I recovered from that. I was in the hospital, I believe, 5 days. And then after that, I was down for quite a while. Everyone that saw me after that thought I was a ghost because I lost so much blood from them. And they said if I lost really any more, I would have died that night. And I would have never, no one would, you know, I would have never woke up from it. And obviously, I'm dead. But, um, So I remember God brought me through that, and since then I haven't had any problems, and I'm still not some abnormal child, I don't think. So I haven't had any problems from that since then. But I started thinking about it not too long ago, and how I had that, and I still remember that, and I've talked about it before, and even maybe try to use it against my parents sometimes, like, hey, I'm a sickly child, I need more. But it worked. So I remember that, and I started thinking about it not too long ago, about the whole story and about how that happened. And like I said, I'm 21 now, so that was quite a while ago. And I started thinking about how of all those doctor's appointments I went to, and I was pretty young when we went to a lot of them, but I remember how them saying, hey, it's not a big deal, and they kind of overlooked it, and it wasn't the big thing. I had a lot of warnings about it, because, I mean, I wasn't feeling too well, and it was happening every single day, and it was two or three times, maybe even more some days. And I remember the doctor saying, you know, it's not a big deal, and all those warnings, I just kind of blew them off in a way. And then one day, I couldn't blow them off anymore. And one day, I had to have that, you know, the surgery in order to fix the problem. And I want to go back to Jonah, where we talk about Jonah, and we'll kind of switch, and hopefully you'll be able to see where I'm going from here. And we'll read the passage again that we just read. It says in verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I know we're at church on Sunday night. How many of you know the story of Jonah, though? I preached this on my bus, and it didn't turn out so well as I was planning on, because I had some points, and I had the Jonah, and I was figuring everybody knew the story of Jonah. But I guess ghetto kids in Chicago don't. So almost none of them raised their hand. So we only have like 10 minutes anyways to preach, and it took the whole time telling the story. So hopefully I won't have to spend as much time on the story of Jonah. But you know Jonah. Jonah was a prophet from God, and Jonah was a preacher. And he was always, I mean, as a preacher, we think of the preacher automatically supposed to be a good guy and do whatever God says, right? I mean, if Pastor Rogers said, you know, no, or you know, and him, to him, some of us think of him as somebody that obeys God, and he's supposed to. So as a Jonah, we thought, you know, it's a good guy, you know, he's supposed to obey God, you know, if God told me to do that, you know, that's a little different. I'm not, you know, Jonah. I'm not the prophet. And so God, you know, at that point, Jonah would always obey God. Obviously, he was a pretty good guy. He got into the Bible, and he was being used of God all over the place, and he was doing what God wanted him to do. And as at that point, we don't see anything that Jonah told God no, he wouldn't do. But then there finally came something in Jonah's life where he said, you know, I don't want to do that. And he says, you know what, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. And we even see that where he was pretty committed to God in the fact that he would he'd get on a boat and he'd pay his way to go all the way to Tarshish. But he said, you know, God, I'll do anything you want me to do, but I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like the Ninevite people. He's like, you know, those people are they're our enemy. He's like, they kill us, they torture us, and you know, they steal our families, they steal they attack us. And God, I just do not care for them at all, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, God, but I don't want to do this. And as you know, the story where he told God, you know, he didn't want to go, so he got on the boat and he went to Tarshish, and he started heading the opposite way. And Jonah went to the bottom of the boat, and he just fell asleep. And he went down there. I have no idea how he slept so well down in the bottom of the boat with the storm going on. And it's probably like a lot of husbands this afternoon. The wife was trying to wake him up for church, and it just wasn't working. But we see that we're Jonah. He was in the belly, or not the belly. Later, that's later on. But he was in the bottom of the boat, and there's storms going on. And God knew exactly where Jonah was at, and so he knew where he was at. So he had the storm going on in the sea. And the captain of the ship went down there and said, Jonah, you know, what are you doing? You know, we got this huge storm going on, and if something doesn't happen real quick, we're all going to die. We're throwing over all the cargo. We're throwing over everything overboard to survive this. It's like, you know, you need to get up and you need to pray to your God. And Jonah got up, and he told him immediately, and like I said, I don't want to spend a whole long time on this story, but he told him immediately what happened. He's like, you know, I'm running from God. He said, the reason you guys are having this, the reason you guys have lost all this and lost all your money and lost all your cargo is because I'm running from God. And so he told them that if they were to throw him overboard, they'd be okay. And yeah, they lost some money and they lost some possessions, but their lives would be okay. But they didn't want to do that first, so they tried rowing. And they didn't want to be held responsible for Jonah's death. And finally they saw that there was no other need, and Jonah finally convinced them to throw him overboard. And we'll look in I'll go down to verse 15 again. It says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Like I said, you know the story where they threw Jonah over and God had prepared a great fish to come swallow Jonah. And he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And to hasten the story a little bit, he was in there and he prayed to God for 3 days and three nights. And then finally, after that third day, God had the great fish throw him out onto the land, pretty much vomiting him out. And it sounds pretty exciting. But and he got to Nineveh, and you know how the story goes on, where he went to Nineveh and he got there and he preached to them, and they all got saved, and the city was turned to God. And but I'm not going the direction tonight. We're talking about Nineveh. Or I'm preaching to Nineveh. But what I want to talk about tonight, this is where hopefully I'll be able to link us with the other story I just told you, is that, yeah, Jonah was able to recover from the mistake that he made, and Jonah was able to come through and still do something great for God, but not without having to go through the belly of the whale. God told him, you know, this is what I need you to do. And, you know, the belly of the whale, it sounds like a great story, and it sounds pretty awesome. You're like, you know, he went through the belly of the fish, and, you know, that's pretty awesome. But have you ever thought about how nasty that belly would have been? And you ever thought of the acid that had been in stomach? Not to sound gross, but he probably didn't look the same after he went in. And he probably had a little bit of things wrong with his skin, and he probably had some health problems after that. I just imagine, I've never been in the belly of a fish, but I just imagine that it's not too healthy. And so we see right here that that Jonah, you know, he was able to go on for God and still do something great for God. And he was still able to see Nineveh saved and still able to see Nineveh turn to God. But forever after that, he still had the scars on his body. He still had his skin that was discolored. He still had those health problems. You know, God had to put him in that belly of that fish. What I want to talk about is where, even when I was 9 years old and I had to have that emergency surgery, you know, God gave me warnings. And I had warnings. Medically, I had warnings. You know, I wasn't feeling good every day. I mean, that's not normal. Who would think that was normal? I mean, that's not a normal thing. And I had warnings every day, but because those warnings weren't heeded and because those warnings weren't taken really, really serious, you know, I mean, it was a big deal, but I mean, I'm just a nervous kid, right? And so they weren't taken really, really serious. I had to have the only thing that was going to fix it, the only thing that was going to save my life was that emergency surgery. And how many of you want to, you know, God's always going to get his way. And God's always going to get what he wants. And I'm sure Jonah would have even had more impact on the world if he could have been in the Bible. And they could have talked about how God wanted him to go to Nineveh and he told God yes right away. Instead of having to go through after that. And I'm sure there was things that Jonah probably couldn't do for God later on because of his health after that. And there was things that Jonah probably struggled with after that because he disobeyed God. Yeah, it all turned out well. And yeah, it all turned out good. And even my story, yeah, I'm okay today. And yeah, I'm at college and I've spent 2.5 years there. I haven't had any problems. And as far as I know, I don't have any problems at all. And but I see that the only thing that was going to save my life at that point was to have that emergency surgery. And it's in order for you to get your heart right with God, and in order for you to get what God's trying to warn you about, God's saying, you know what, you got a little bit of sin over here. Maybe you're not a horrible guy. You're going to church. You're going Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But you got a little problem here. And I'd rather just give you a little prescription. You know, I'd have rather, back when I was 9 years old, thinking back to those times, I'd have rather the doctors just been able to give me some kind of prescription. Maybe give something I had to take once a day. Maybe some exercise, something. And medically, that's what we'd probably prefer than a surgery. I don't know how many people have had a surgery before, but it's not a fun thing. And that's always the last option, is to have surgery. And I'd have rather just had, you know, that prescription. I'd have rather just done something that would have just cured that without having to have that surgery. You know, God's saying the same thing. You know what? He'd rather be able to get your attention with just giving you that little prescription. He'd rather be able to, you know, he might say, you know, you need one dose of reading your Bible every day. You need one dose of praying every day. You need your dose of going out and soul winning each week. You need your dose of going to church each week. He said, if you take those things, those are cured. He said, you got those warnings and you got those symptoms and you're not feeling too well right now and that sin's creeping up in your life. He said, you know what? If you just do this, he said, I don't have to go through that surgery. He said, you know, Jonah, if you just do what I want you to do in the first place, because, you know, he got Jonah to do what he wanted him to do. But he said, if you just do what I want you to do in the first place, you don't have to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale. And I'm going to go on just a little bit. We got a few things that happened because of the emergency surgery and because of spending that time in the whale. One of the first things is you always lose something. You always lose something. Jonah, in that case, he lost 3 days and three nights where he could have been to Nineveh way before that, and he could have preached to people. Imagine how many people die in 3 days and three nights. And he lost something. And so spiritually he lost that. And physically he lost a lot of his health. And you always lose something. I remember in that surgery, and I was going to talk to my mom and my dad before and kind of figure it all out so I didn't sound too dumb up here about what happened. But it's all right. I'll just make it through. So I remember, though, they cut me open and they fixed whatever they had to fix. And I'm obviously okay. But I remember they took my appendix out then, too. And I asked my parents about that later. I didn't even know they did it. And I asked them later, and like, oh, you didn't need that taken out. They were just there, so they took it out. And, you know, I lost something. And that was something I lost. And like I said, that sounds kind of messed up, but physically I lost something. I don't know if I needed it or not, but obviously I'm okay. So, but that's something that I lost. And, you know, with sin and with not listening to God, and every time you have to go through that surgery, every time God has to throw you in that belly, every time that God has to perform that surgery on you because you won't just get up and have the character enough to just take that pill. You won't have the character enough just to read your Bible and to pray, and you won't do what God wants you to do and tell other people how to get saved. He said, you'll lose something. He said, I'll have to perform that surgery on you. I'll have to take you through that. And I'm not saying that to say that every time something bad happens in your life and every time you go through a trial, that means you've done something wrong. And God's not saying every time you go through something and every time something hard happens in your life, that doesn't mean you've done something wrong. But often when things happen in our life, Jonah didn't end up in the belly of the fish because he did something great and because God's like, you know what, because you love me so much and you ran right to Nineveh, I'm going to let you have a free cruise in the belly of a fish. That'd be awesome, right? And so I'm not saying every time something happens in your life that God's judging you. And I'm not saying that God's saying, you know, because you're wicked and you're horrible. But you know what, God sometimes, he has to get our attention though. And God says, you know, the only way I'm going to have to do is I wanted to just do it real easy. And I wanted it just to be simple. And I wanted to just be, correct this problem and we'll go on. And you'll be okay. But he's like, you know, I had to get your attention. He's like, the only way I was going to fix it, the only way I was going to save your life was by putting you in that surgery. And I had to do it immediately, too. He's like, that's the only way I could do it. So first of all, you're going to lose something. And next, you'll regret it. Every time that you do something that's not pleasing to God, every time that you make the mistakes, and I'm not standing up here saying that I'm perfect, because honestly, when I was putting this together and over the last few weeks as I thought about it, driving back and forth to work, this message is just as much for me. And the only reason that makes it a little bit easier to preach it tonight is because I can preach to myself. So, but, you know, there's things that every time that you mess up, every time that you don't obey God, every time you don't run to Nineveh, every time that you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're gonna regret it, and you're gonna have regrets, and you're gonna look bad. And you're like, you know, I'm doing okay now, and just like me, you know, I'm doing okay now physically, and you're like, I'm doing okay, you know, but I wish I wouldn't have had that back there. And I wish that I wouldn't have had that problem back there. And I wish that nobody could go back at my record. Nobody could go back at my history and be like, hey, I hear you're doing real good. But hey, what happened to this part of your life? And I mean, I know you were 16, but, you know, what happened in that part of your life? And you'll look back and you're like, you know, I have that regret. Next year, you'll have pain. And like I said, I had a ton of pain. I remember that was not fun at all. And especially at 9 years old, I remember, I'm pretty sure I cried. And if I had to do it again at 21, I'm pretty sure I'd probably cry more. So, but I remember having that pain. And you're gonna have pain because, you know, it's not gonna be easy. But when we don't do it God's way, and when we have to have God get our attention, it's not gonna be easy. And next you're gonna have a scar from it. And this is good, I guess, and go back with regret, is that every time you mess up and you go through this time of your life, you know, God, I don't need to do that, and who cares about that, and I'm gonna kinda do my own thing. And once God has to put you through that surgery, once God has to put you through and put you in the belly of that whale, just like Jonah, I mean, he walked out, like we talked about, he walked out and his skin was probably discolored. He probably had things wrong. It was probably very noticeable that he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Is that you always have that scar. Yeah, you'll go on. Yeah, you'll be okay, but you'll always have that mark that, hey, you were in sin a little bit. Yeah, you can overcome that. I mean, you can hide that maybe, but God says you're always going to have that scar. We'll go on to the next part. Like, hope I'm not losing too many yet. But I put a few points together of things I was thinking about the story of Jonah. And Jonah, he was a pretty good guy. And I wonder why he did this. And what could he have done different? Obviously, if he just obeyed God. But what would he have done different that would have made this a whole lot better for him? And there's a few points I put together for myself that seems to help me lately. And hopefully there's something that can help you out too. The first thing is, if Jonah would have done different, he would have his whole story would have turned out different in the Bible. I mean, he still should have seen Nineveh. He wouldn't have had to end up in the belly for 3 days and three nights. First thing he needs to do is you need to do also, and what I had done for myself, is do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do immediately. You know, it's never going to be easy. It's always going to be hard. And God never promises it to be easy, but always do what God wants you to do. And, no, because, you know, God honestly, God doesn't like to see you in pain. God doesn't like to have to have that surgery. God would rather you just be able to stay by Him. And God would rather you just be close to Him. He doesn't want you to have to go through the things that a lot of us put ourselves through. And we're like, God, why is this going on in my life? And God, why do I have this pain? Next question would be, why am I doing this? Why am I not doing what God wants me to do? Well, first of all, do what God wants you to do. And there's several areas you can do that. First thing that God wants you to do, and I'm not just going to take for granted that everybody in here is saved. I hope everyone is saved in this room. And it's a Sunday night crowd, and I know you're saved. But the first thing God wants you to do is know that you're going to heaven. And you know what? The belly of that fish was a pretty horrible thing. And but to be honest with you, I mean, I haven't been to either place, but to be honest with you, from what the Bible says, hell's a whole lot worse than the belly of a fish. And so first of all, he's going to, I'm not just going to take for granted everybody is saved. And if you're not saved, make sure you get that taken care of tonight. That's the first thing that God wants you to do. Because he says that at the end of our life, we're going to either end up in heaven or hell. And that's totally our choice. And he says that, do what God wants you to do in that. Next, do what God wants you to do in telling others. You know, we have this thing called soul winning. And if we get more people doing it, we had pastor school, didn't we? It was a good time, wasn't it? And they're teaching us how we can reach the world for Christ. And a lot of times we hear this thing and we, you know, the world, what is it, 6.4 billion people in the world? And we said, that's way too many people. We can't do that. But we can do our part, though. And if we all do our part, you know, because God said, do what God wants you to do. God wants you to know that you're saved. And God wants you to know that God wants you to tell someone else that how they can be saved. I think it's incredible. And I'm not saying that I'm an awesome soul winner and I'm all great at that. And I struggle with that. You can ask the guys, John and Josh and Curry, all go out on my bus route with me in Chicago on the weekends. And I struggle with it just like everybody else. And it's so much easier just to get up to the route and see all the kids and then go get something to eat and then leave and be like, I ran out of time. And isn't it a struggle, guys? And every week, I mean, I got to kind of like preach to myself to get myself, and I got to tell myself that I got to go out. You know what? But God commands everyone. It's so selfish of us not to tell someone else what we have, what somebody told us. You know, so like I said, first of all, make sure, do what God wants you to do and making sure you're saved. Next, tell other people how they can be saved. And do what God wants you to do in how you treat others. You know what Jonah's big problem was? Jonah didn't care that he had to go all the way to Nineveh. He didn't care about the trip. I mean, we see he was getting on a boat and he was going all the way to Tarshish. He didn't mind traveling. Jonah didn't care about how long it was going to take. He didn't care that if he got seasick. He didn't care about those. What he cared about is he didn't like the Ninevite people. And he did not care for them at all. You know what? We need to treat the people, even if we don't like them and we can't stand them. And believe me, there's people that I cannot stand. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to college and you ever lived in a dorm room. But if you've ever been in a dorm room, there's automatically, like, you can just go into the room knowing you're going to hate some people when you get out. And I know that's a tough word, so probably shouldn't have said I hated them, but probably not. But okay, I didn't hate them. I didn't care. I loathed them. I didn't care. But you always get a little bit of people, and because we're all from all over parts of the country and the world, and so some people are a little goofy. Obviously, it's not me. But you know, treat other people that even if you don't care for them. Like I said, Jonah, his big problem was he didn't like the Ninevite people. He didn't really care what happened to him. You know, but if he would have just realized that, hey, you know, I need to do what God wants me to do because God wants me to do it, then his story would have turned out a little bit different. Next thing you need to do is go where God wants you to go. And I'm going to start real basics because I'm pretty basic. And I'm not going to get into all this huge theology and doctrine and everything. And I like being pretty basic and I think pretty basic. And you can ask my teachers because my grades come back pretty basic. But, you know what? Let's start with, you know, where God wants you to go. One thing where God wants you to go is go to church. Right. And obviously, I can't appreciate all you hear about going to church because you're here right now. And but make sure you're always here. Yes. You know, there's always going to be things that are more convenient. There's always going to be things that are in your way and always going to come between me. You know, God says, hey, I want you to go where I want you to go. You know, go where God wants you to go. First, you know, go to church. and go soul winning. And a lot of these are kind of going to be running over each other. And but hopefully if I say them enough, you'll get them. And for me, I know I got to hear something over and over and over and over again, and I'll finally get it, hopefully. But we need to go where God wants us to go. Make sure you're going to church. Make sure you're going soul winning. Make sure you're going to your prayer closet. Make sure you're going to that place where you read your Bible. Make sure you're going where God wants you to go. And not just that, we'll go a little farther. Maybe God wants you to go somewhere for Him. Maybe it's not in church. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe it's another state. Maybe God's saying, hey, you know what? I want you to be a missionary. Hey, God, you know, I want you to preach. And, I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to go where I want you to go. And you know, God, I'm already in a place in my life where I'm pretty set and I got a pretty good job. And God, I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm enjoying this. And you know, before I went to college, I always grew up thinking I didn't want to go to college. And it wasn't something that sounded really exciting to me. And not until probably maybe a year or two before I went, and it was something that was actually I really, really wanted to do. But before that, I didn't really have a desire to go. And it's not something I wanted to do, but I had to realize that, you know, hey, God wanted me to go. And I'm glad I went. And I know that I wouldn't be happy doing what God, or doing not what God wanted me to do. And so make sure you're going where God wants you to go. And next, be what God wants you to be. You know, we can do what God wants us to do, and we can go where God wants to go, but if we're not being what God wants us to be, none of those other two really matter a whole lot, because we're not going to do what we're supposed to do, and we're not going to go if we're not being what we're supposed to be. And you know, when God sent Jonah to Nineveh, He wanted him to be a preacher. He wanted him to preach. He wanted him to tell people. He wanted him to be a soul winner. He didn't want him just to go to Nineveh and be like, hey, you know, good job, Jonah, you're in Nineveh. And he wanted him to start a business and all this. He said, no, that's not what I want him to do. And some of you, that's what God wants to do, you to do. But He says, you know what? I want you to be a preacher. He says, I want you to, God says, you know, be what God wants you to be. And you're going to be a whole lot happier in life. You know, if Jonah would have sat down real quick before he made his decision to go, to get on the boat and go to Tarshish, and he would have sat down and said, you know what? I need to do what God wants me to do. I need to go where God wants me to go. And I need to be what God wants me to be. He wouldn't have ended up in the belly of that fish. God wouldn't have had to use that in his life. And if he would have just heeded to those warnings, and if he had just heeded to that conviction that God was talking to him, that God was speaking to him and telling him, you know, do this and do what I want you to do, and don't do what you want you to do, because what you want is not really important. What God wants is important. And he said, if you would just heed to what I want you to do, he said, you know, I'm going to get my way, but your life's going to be a whole lot easier. And you're not going to have to go through all that. And I think in myself, and I know I keep going back and forth, but I think of myself and even as a kid, and the story is, you know, having the warnings as a kid, and having those warnings that, hey, you know, if there's a problem, and if I don't get this taken care of, you know, there's going to be a bigger problem. And eventually, it was a bigger problem. Eventually, I was real close to the end of my life. And I was real close to being dead, I guess you could put it that way. But, and you know, I had to have that emergency surgery. That's what saved me. You know, God allowed us to get to the hospital in time. And let me tell you something. The right now, make sure that God doesn't have to have that surgery in your life. Make sure God doesn't have to perform emergency surgery in your life. Make sure, because, I mean, all like we talked about, that's going to bring loss, and it's going to bring pain, and it's going to bring regret, and it's going to bring that scar. And you know what? That's what sin is. And, excuse me. You know, are we gonna make God have to perform that surgery in our life? Is it going to take spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale? I'm pretty sure it probably felt like more than 3 days and three nights. And I remember just being in the hospital for 5 days. And I remember how horrible that was. And you know what God says? That, you know, He doesn't want to have to perform that emergency surgery on you. He wants you to just get your attention before. And He wants you to just say, you know what, God, you can have my life right now. Hey, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Hey, you want me to take that prescription? Hey, I'll get up every morning and I'll read my Bible. I'll take that pill. And I'll pray and I'll take that pill. And hey, I'll go tell someone else. I'll take that pill that you have. And hey, God, hey, if I do this and if I'm kind to people and I'm doing your will, hey, that's gonna avoid having to have that surgery, right? Okay, I'll do that. And I'll do that. And you'll tell your doctor and you'll say, you know what, doctor, I do not want to have surgery. What can I do that's gonna avoid having surgery? And you'll say, I'll do whatever you want, won't we? I mean, we'll do whatever He says to do, because the last thing we want to have to do is have surgery. And the last thing we want to do is have to be put down for weeks and not be able to work and to go through all that. But why is that often the first thing that we choose when it comes to God? Why is it often the first thing? We throw off everything else. And make sure that God doesn't have to perform that surgery in your life to get your attention. And next, I have just a little bit more here. I have 3 points that I thought about, and I said, you know what Jonah could have done different to avoid having the belly of that fish. And I have 3 points also that shows, you know, what I can do, what you can do, that'll help you do those three things. And the first thing is listen to God. And I know all these things are basic, and I apologize I didn't come in here with a bunch of Greek words. I am taking Greek, though. I passed it. So I'm taking that, and don't ask me anything about it, because I'm passing it, but you don't have to have a very high grade to pass it, obviously. So all this is real, real basic. And I don't know Latin, and I don't know Hebrew, and I don't know all this stuff. And I'm not going to get into all that. But you know, the first thing, like I said, it's real basic. Listen to God. When God's talking to you, listen to him. You know, we tell the teenagers to do it. And I was in the youth group. And I'm not that much older than most of them. But I remember going to youth conferences, and they say, listen to it. Listen to God, and do what God wants you to do. Listen to him. And listen to him. Just listen to him. How is it that hard to listen to him? And I remember hearing that. And I remember, you know, people tell me to do that all the time. Why is it sometimes that we want the teenagers to do it, we want the kids to do it, but as the adults, that's a lot harder time? Is it because that they don't have the job that you have? Is it because that they don't have the schedule that you have? So it makes it a little harder. It doesn't apply. The first thing, in order to do the other three, do what God wants you to do, go where God wants you to do, and be what God wants you to do. First, you need to listen to God. You know, listen to him. Listen to whatever he wants you to do. You know, listen to those warnings that he's putting in your life. You know, listen to that. He said, you know, you got this problem, and if you just fix this now, I won't have to do all this stuff later. He just said, listen to me now. Do it now. The next one is trust God. And it sounds good, right? How many of you ever said trust God before? How many of you ever thought trust God before? And you know in Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And probably a lot of you have that memorized. I remember memorizing that as a little kid. And I've had that memorized for years. And it sounds real good. It sounds like a really, really good verse. And it's pretty easy to memorize, actually. And we probably in Sunday school, we probably teach it. And we probably tell someone else when they're like, hey, they come to you and they ask you to pray for them. A lot of times I've done it before. Just trust God. You know, I'll pray for you. Trust God. And it sounds really good when we tell other people. But it'd probably be a lot easier for other people to trust God, if they can see us trusting God. And I don't know about a lot of you, but even in my own life, there's things that I've thought about, even in jobs at college. And before I took a job, I would say, you know what, I want to see someone else that, you know, is doing that job. And I want to see someone else that's doing pretty good. I don't want to just get this job and no one's ever made it work before. You know, I'm sure that if someone else could see you trusting God, so even if you don't want to trust God for yourself, do it for somebody else. Do it so someone else can see that, hey, you know, he's trusting God. Do it for your kids. You know, do it. I thank God for my parents that they taught me a lot of things. They taught me to trust God, and they lived it, though. You know, so it's a lot easier for me. It's not easy always for me to trust God, but it's a lot easier now looking, and I'll call my dad up, and you can even ask him. I call him up all the time, and I'm always asking him questions, trying to get my school paid, and he hangs up the phone. I'm just kidding. But he tells me to trust God. And you know what, I look at it and I'm like, man, that's hard. But then I always got to look back when I was a kid, and I always got to look back and remember, you know what, my dad's telling me to trust God, but I remember him trusting God. And it seemed to work. And you know, I'm still in school right now. And sometimes it's tough, and my dad remembers, wasn't pretty tough sometimes, still is pretty tough sometimes. And you know, he says, trust God. You know, God always comes through for you. But a lot of times we struggle with that thing of trusting God. And you know what, Jonah? He did. If he would have just, first of all, like I said, if he would have listened to God. Second, if he would have trusted God, his story could have been totally different. He wouldn't have had to spend that time in the belly of that fish. If he had just trusted God. And the third one I have is strive to be like Christ. A lot of times we're afraid to say, be like Christ. And a lot of times we think of it as, oh, you can't do it. Nobody can be like God. And you, I can't even believe you said that. And you'll see people, I'm talking about is be like Christ. Strive to be like Christ. There's a story I heard, and some of you may have heard, and you might have heard different versions of it. And forget about your version, though. Mine's the right one, and at least for now, because I got the mic. So I heard this story a long while back, and I've used it several times. it was out this businessman, and it was a Saturday morning, and he got called into a short business meeting. I'm sure probably some of you have heard of that before, and they're never short. Even for work, my boss will have a meeting, tries to have a meeting once a month, and it's never supposed to be too long, but 3.5-4 hours later, we come out having no idea what they talked about, but hey, we obeyed. But he went to this business meeting, and it was a nice sunny day. It was beautiful outside, and the weather was actually nice. It wasn't just sunny without the nice weather. So it was a nice day, and he got to his parking spot a little bit early, so he was kind of walking to his meeting, and his meeting was a few blocks away, but he wasn't in too much of a hurry of time. He was walking down the street, and as he was just kind of window shopping and just kind of looking in the windows, you know, just kind of browsing, just taking his time, and just trying to, you know, get some fresh air before he walked into the meeting and probably got his face chewed off for something he did wrong. So he's walking, and he got to one store, and it was a woodworker store. And he looked inside the window. It had a big window in the front. He looked in the window. And there was a lot of carvings, and there was like a little bench and some little animals and things that the guy had made out of wood. But he looked into the back of the store. Excuse me. And he saw the woodworker at his bench, just kind of carving and making something. He couldn't really tell what he was making yet. It looked like he had just started. But what he noticed that right beside the woodworker there was a dog. And it was a beautiful looking dog. It was the most beautiful dog that he could, as far as he could remember, that he'd ever seen. And he kind of watched it for a minute, and he noticed that dog, not only was it a beautiful looking dog, but it looked like it was incredibly obedient. It just sat there, didn't move at all, wasn't even wagging its tail. It was just looking right at the woodworker. It was just staying real content on the woodworker and just staring right at him, watching him work. And he kind of looked at it in amazement a little bit, and I thought that was pretty neat. We looked at his clock and realized that he better start getting going so he's not late and get yelled at for that too. So he headed down the road. He went to his meeting and all that and whatever they talked about. It was a couple hours later. He left his meeting and he was walking back down the road again. And he was just kind of thinking about the meeting and thinking about the things that were said, thinking about all the things his boss said he needed to improve on and everything. And as he was walking, he came right across that same shop again. And that same woodworker shop, and he looked inside, and he saw that woodworker still sitting at his desk, still chipping away and carving at that block of wood. And he could kind of see there was a little bit of form shaping in that block of wood now. But one thing that really caught his attention was he saw that dog still sitting there. It didn't look like it had moved at all. It was just sitting there, just staring at the woodworker, just. You know, looking at him, and he was completely, all focus was on the woodworker. And so he got real curious. He's like, you know, if I ever get a dog, I want it to be real obedient like that. I'm gonna try to figure out how this guy got his dog to be, you know, be so good. So he walked into the woodworker shop and kind of didn't want to just go right up to him and ask him, you know, all about his dog and how he got it to be so great. So he just kind of walked around, just kind of looking from the other side of the room, just acting like he's shopping. And just kind of like some of you ladies, when you hear some gossip going on the other side of the shop, I'm just kidding. But he kind of went in there and he's looking and he got real curious. He's like, you know, I'm gonna get a little closer. So he started getting a little closer and he's still looking and he's like, man, I don't know how that dog got so. He's like, you know, how it got such to be such an obedient dog. So he finally said, you know, I'm gonna ask the woodworker. He's like, I'm gonna suck up my pride and I'm just gonna go ask the woodworker about that. So as he got closer though. We got real close to the woodworker and the dog. He looked down and he realized that the dog wasn't real at all, but it was just a block of wood. So he sat there in kind of an amazement wonder, you know, I wonder how this dog could look so real. I mean, it looks incredibly real, but it's just a block of wood. So he asked the woodworker guy's attention and said, you know what? I've been watching you and this dog for a while, and I thought this dog was real. How did you get this dog to look so real? So the woodworker got up from the bench and he walked over to the other corner of the room and he picked up a block of wood. And without saying anything, it was an older gentleman. He just kind of picked it up, brought it over to his bench, and he set it down, and he cleared his throat, and he looked at the man, and he said, you know what I did? One day I started with a block of wood, just about the size and the shape of this one right here. And I took my tools, and I started carving at it and chipping at it and hacking at it and sawing at it until I took off everything off of this block of wood that did not resemble a dog. He's like, how I got that dog to look so lifelike is by taking everything off of it that didn't look like a dog. He's like, if it looked pretty good, but there was a little bit of a notch here and a little bit of, it was scraped up here and it would be a little bit sandpapered there. And he's like, I would do it. And so I took off everything that didn't look like a dog. And what I'm talking about, you know, tonight, that just the one thing that will help you with all the other stuff. And if just one thing you could kind of throw out all the other stuff I gave you, if you just listen to this one thing. You know what? If we'll take off, just like that man took off everything off that dog, off that block of wood to make it look like a real dog. If we take off everything off of our life, and we chip off and carve off everything in our life, we can that doesn't look like Christ, we can be Christ-like. Yeah. I mean, I know we'll never be perfect. And I'm sure that dog still had, he had some little bit of problems, and the woodworker probably didn't make it completely perfect, and none of us are perfect. But that doesn't mean we don't have to try. You know, God says, you know, there's something in your life that he says that, you know, doesn't look like Christ. He said, take it off. He didn't say that it wouldn't be easier, it wouldn't be time consuming. I'm sure that woodworker probably would have said it took a lot of time. And it probably wasn't something that he just did sitting down one time. You know, that if we'll get serious about it, and if we'll just get in our, and get before God, and we'll just take off everything off our life, and we'll just chip off everything in our life, and we'll carve off everything off of our life that does not resemble Christ, we can finally start looking like Christ. You know, just to give you some examples, does the way you act, does it resemble Christ? Does the way you talk, does it resemble Christ? The stuff you listen to, does it resemble Christ? The stuff you watch, does it resemble Christ? Or is all that stuff on there and you're like, you know, he's a pretty good Christian and he looks pretty good. But could you imagine if that guy tried selling that dog and it looked awesome, but you turn it and there's a huge chunk just sitting on the side that, you know, he's like, oh, I ran out of time. I just didn't feel like doing it anymore. And could you imagine that? And you wouldn't buy it. I mean, would you buy that? You wouldn't buy it. You know, it's the same thing we're doing in our life when we leave the stuff in our life that doesn't look like Christ. You know, we want the world to know how awesome God is. And you go down the road and I'm sure you've done it. I've done it. And you look at some guy and, you know, he's got his pants sagging and he's got the huge earrings and he's got the nose ring. And you're like, what's his problem? I mean, you know, I mean, how is he so dumb, right? Like, I mean, why can't he just, you know, grow up, change that? You know, but we haven't really shown him a whole lot to follow. Because, you know, we're not always willing in our own lives to be like Christ. You know, sometimes we can fool each other out. And sometimes we can look good. And you can get in front of the mirror and you're like, and I look pretty good. And I got a good haircut. And I shaved today. And I put on my tie just right. And I look pretty good. But not just on the outside. On the inside, do you look like Christ, though? Have you taken out all the stuff in your life? You know what? If we do this, like I said, if you throw away everything else that I gave you, but just remember this. That if you decide, you know, you'll never be perfect. You always make mistakes. But the more and more you try, and more you aim towards the goal of, you know, being like Christ, the closer you get. Yeah, you'll never be perfect. No, there's no one holy besides God. But even if you look at an NBA basketball player, or even a college basketball player, even a high school basketball player, and you look at him and you're a coach, and not one time did you tell me in basketball that since I'll never have a perfect free throw shot, I should stop trying. Did you? Never. Have you said it this year? A couple times? I'm just kidding. Why? Because the more and more you practice, the more and more you try, you know, you'll never be perfect, but you get a whole lot better. You know, your Christian life, the more and more you give your life to God, the more and more that you're in your Bible, the more and more you're praying, the more and more you're telling people about Christ, the more and more that you're saying, God, you can have my will. God, you can have my life. The more and more you're giving yourself to God, the more and more you're taking off the stuff in your life that does not resemble Christ. Yeah, you won't get perfect, but you're going to get a whole lot better. You're going to be a whole lot better witness for God. You're going to be a whole lot better example for the world to see. Like I said, we'll go back to the beginning where Jonah, you know, it turned out pretty good for him. And it turned out in the city of Nineveh, that was a pretty good feat. You know, he preached to them and they all got saved. That was pretty amazing. I mean, you can't really bash a guy. I mean, he saw the whole entire city saved, right? I mean, it was a lot bigger than Adrian. And he saw the whole entire city saved. But, you know, he had to go through a lot before that happened. And he had a lot of trials in his life. And God had to put him through that emergency surgery. I want to tell you tonight, though, is that you don't have to go through that emergency surgery if you just be like Christ. Just take that prescription he's given to you. Just take his word every day and get into it. Like, you know, God, what do you want me to learn today? Just sit down and pray and ask God what he wants. Talk to him. Take that prescription he's giving you and say, you know, I'll tell somebody today. You know, I'm not a real good soul winner, and I get pretty nervous, but tell somebody. He says, you know, you need to be like Christ. He said, all those things. And Jonah, he said, Jonah, you know, you did something great for me. And Jonah, that was awesome. And Jonah, I love that. And Jonah, I'm glad you finally just surrendered your life to me. And Jonah, I'm so glad. But I wish you'd have just done it my way in the first place. You think of how sad it must make God when he says, you know what? Man, I'm real proud of you. I mean, you're doing real good now. But man, that hurt me a lot when I had to do that surgery on you. It hurt me a lot when I had to put you in the belly of that fish. He said, you know, you're doing good now, and I'm real proud of you, but, man, I wish you had just done it my way. You know, I hope that you get something out of it. Somebody gets something. Like I said, this is something that God's been dealing with in my life. That, you know what? If you just allow yourself and strive to be like Christ, you're going to be a whole lot happier. And you're struggling with stuff, and you're like, I don't know why I'm not happy, and I don't know why I'm struggling so much, and why life seems so horrible. Have you tried being like Christ lately? Have you tried? You tried giving him your life? So God, I don't know why I had to end up, you know, in the belly of that fish. I don't know why I had to go through that. Have you looked at yourself lately and then looked at God and said, you know, God, you can have my life. God, I want you to take off everything off of my life. Maybe some people need to go home tonight and you need to get rid of some stuff. Maybe you need to go home tonight and you need to rethink your priorities. And maybe, you know, myself, I have to do it all the time. It's not something that it was real easy. It's not something that happens overnight. You know, God says, you know, strive to be like Christ. He said, I don't want you to have to go through that surgery. He said, Jonah, I didn't want to put you in that belly of that whale. But that was the only way I can get your attention. That's the way I was going to have Nineveh be reached for me. Because I had to put you there. And I had to get your attention. And that's how I had to do it. And so I'll leave this with you. Don't make God have to get your attention through drastic measures. Don't make God have to wake you up. Don't make God have to slap you on the side of the head to get your attention. You know, because God's going to get your attention sooner or later. God's going to get his way sooner or later. How are you going to make him do it? Are you going to have to make him go the hard route for you? You know, God says, hey, if you just do what I say. And God says, hey, if you just, you know, take this prescription I told you. You know, I remember thinking, you know, I was thinking about the last few months that, you know, when I was a kid, I think it would have been so much better if the doctor could have just been like, you know, maybe you need to exercise or take this prescription here or do this or therapy. Or I think that would have been a whole lot better. You know, and your Christian life is going to be a whole lot better if you just say, you know, God, I'll just do what you want me to do. And God, I'll take that prescription, God, and I'll strive to be like Christ. And everyone bow your head and close your eyes.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Well, what's the difference? 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Just like Kendall just preached. Now, it just seems like we would all figure out that we'd be better off not to go through the belly of the whale, not to go through the hard time, not to go through the trial, not to go through chastening. Do what God says to do when he says to do it. That would be getting saved. That'd be any area of service as a Christian. Just do what he says. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, Preacher, I'm not even saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I am not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Just slip up your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We won't come after you, but I would like to pray for you. If you do not know you're going to heaven, anyone like that, I'm not sure I'm saved. I wonder how many would say, Preacher, I'm a Christian. I am saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something tonight. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Amen. Father, I do pray that you'll bless the invitation now. Help us make the decisions we need to make. I thank you, Lord, for the message, and I thank you for the example in the Scripture. Help us now to learn from it and to make the decisions we need to make in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you have a decision to make tonight, God's speaking to your heart about, whatever it is, you come. Someone up here will be glad to take a Bible, help you out, or you can just pray. Have thine own way. That's what the message was all about. God, I want you to have your way. Yeah, we want